Please turn with me to the book of 1 Thessalonians, the book that we have been studying from in recent months. First Thessalonians chapter 5. This is a very precious chapter. It is the last of the first epistle of Paul to the Thessalonian church. Thank you for finding a seat, those who are just walking around. Please be comfortably seated, and we are reading God's Word from the King James Bible. We shall read from verse 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write to you. For you know perfectly the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. Verse 3. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. They that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. Verses 9-11, for your special attention, as our sermon will be based principally on these verses. Verse 9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. Amen. Today's message is entitled, Edify One Another. Short and sweet. Now to understand more deeply what these three words in this verse 11 is saying to us. What do you mean by the word edify? You know it? Very simply put, is to build up. When we see a statue or an ornamental work, say that is an edifice. Edifice is something that is built up. Maybe a building. No, this is an application to all of us here. That while we are saved by God's grace, we are not saved to be idle. Everyone who has the knowledge of salvation is also given a blessed duty to edify one another. That applies to you and to me. Every believer. How wonderful. Now, you want to ask me, what do you mean by edify one another? What power do you have to build your friend, a fellow believer, your family. This is what it means. We are saved. We have the knowledge of salvation. Now, go and build. Where do I get the power, you ask me? True? Absolutely. How can we do something if we do not have the power? And to build another person is not easy. How do we do it? We need power. What power? Oh, my friend, that power is not of ourselves. We can do nothing. Jesus says, without me, do nothing. Nothing. So we need power from outside of us. God must give us that power, and that power I want to present to you as part of the gospel power. For the gospel, the good news of salvation from Jesus Christ has power. You know that. Power to change lives. As the Thessalonian church members had been changed. You like to see something of that. It is useful to look back into earlier chapters of 1 Thessalonians. So please turn with me. That you understand when I say power, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. All right. Verse 5. Here the Apostle Paul explains to us so simply, clearly, that you cannot mistake what he is trying to tell you. Verse 5. Remember that Paul had to flee from the city of Caesarea, of Philippi, because of persecution, and he came to the city of Thessalonica. And there he found certain who were willing to hear the gospel, and there grew a church in spite of persecution. Now that is the background. What Paul is talking about in verse 5, so you can follow me. This is written to the Christians in the church in Thessalonica. Today it's called Salonica. Verse 5, our gospel came not to you in words. Of course, when he came, he preached the gospel in words. But those words are packed with power. This is a power, gospel power. Same with you. How did you get saved? Because the power of the gospel touched your heart and changed your life. Now read on. In the Holy Ghost, in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Yes, you knew us. Who? Paul, Silas? Running away, fleeing away for their lives as fugitives. Yet, when they spoke, their words were full of power. This is the power we are talking about when I say you and I are to edify one another. How can we do it? Here is the answer. Gospel power. Not just words, but when the words are spoken, it's power of the Holy Spirit. There is power in those words to change lives. Verse 6. And when you heard the gospel, you became followers of us and of the Lord. When you follow Paul, you don't really follow Paul. When you follow me or the pastor, you don't really follow that man. But we are all shown and pointed to the Savior. This is the one that you follow. What do you come here this morning for? To follow Jesus. He is the one we follow. Not any man. So that is the power we're talking about. Verse 6 again. You became followers of us and of the Lord. Of course, on earth you follow certain leaders who are worthy leaders, appointed by God. And you follow them to follow the Lord. Read on. Having received the word in much affliction, when you understand the word, even though you suffer, you will not depart from the word. Why? Because there is power in the word. Only that word can save you. Not any kind of fantasy. Now coming to Singapore on the 6th of December is a film called Golden Compass. Golden Poison. A film that is here to promote that God is dead. And I advise all of us here to pray against it and not to go and see it because it is an evil film. It has got power, but satanic power, to turn people away from God. I say, dear friends, we who have the power of God unto salvation, hold fast to that word. In spite of affliction, even though there may be difficulties, end of verse 6 says, in much affliction you have joy of the Holy Ghost. When you know the Savior as your own, and daily follow Him by the Holy Spirit's power, what do you have? Of course the heart is heavy at times. Mine as well. When we receive various communications that are unfavorable, we all feel stressed somewhat. But then you go to your place of prayer, and there you find relief, joy in the Holy Ghost. To know that these difficulties are sent to try us, to strengthen, to cause us to grow and to more be dependent on the Lord Jesus. This is the use of difficulties, of sadness, of complications in life, problems, sickness, death, all these things. What are they for? Of course, they are worrying, aren't they? But you have joy of the Holy Ghost, and then you will grow. And by this, when you grow, you are equipped to help others to grow. That is edifying. You follow? Otherwise, we say, how can I edify another believer? Through the affliction, I can say to you, dear friend, now you become a Christian and you find difficulties, persevere. I went through the same. But the Holy Spirit is with us. The Word of God is absolutely dependable and powerful. Don't give up. When you share this with another believer, he is edified. This is how we edify one another. Verse 8. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord. From whom? From the Thessalonian Christians. How did they become Christians? They heard the word and they believed, and then they were made Christians, and then they begin to witness. This is how we grow the gospel. Are you? Read on. Not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but in every place your faith is spread abroad. People hear about the Christians of Thessalonica, how they persevered in the presence of affliction. And I hope I can say this of all of us here, that we in Calvary Pandan, Christians who come here, who follow the Lord Jesus Christ faithfully, have a reputation that people know. Here is a genuine group of believers who trust in the Lord, who live a holy life, and who grow in grace. Verse 9. For they themselves show of us what manner of entrance we had unto you, and how you turned from God to idols to serve the living and true God. This is gospel power. How many here have turned from idols to serve the living God? How many times have been to homes to remove those idols? And they are not powerless idols, please. They are deadly things. But only because you go in the power of the Lord, in the power of His Word and the Holy Spirit, then you remove those idols. And the owners of those idols, having given them up and surrendered them and taken in receiving the Lord Jesus Christ and His salvation, they are protected. And from then they turn from idols to the living God. So many of us here in this congregation have gone through that experience. I had it, not me, but 3 generations ago, 4 generations ago, great-grand, great-great-grandfather in China, How many of you here have the same experience? Most of us have that experience. To turn from idols to the living God. And not to give up. Even though there were persecutions, we don't give up. Why? Because there is power in our faith, in our God, the ever-living Lord Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, sends us forth to be His servants, to tell others there is power, there is hope, there is life. No longer serve dead idols, but come to the one living and true God. Verse 10. When you come to the Savior, knowing Him as yours, what a difference it makes to your life, isn't it? You have a hope. You have an assurance. You have a foundation. You know where you're going, what you're doing on earth, and you have a secure future. Read verse 10. And to await His Son from heaven. This is our blessed hope. What is life without hope? You know what is life without hope? So many have no hope. And when they have no hope, they lose purpose in life. And they don't know what they are doing. And they are like the lost souls. And some of them, in a time of great depression, will take their own lives. So this is life without hope. But, my friends, all of us who come to the Savior and receive the gospel have power. Power to know that Jesus Christ is coming again. And in Him we have the sure place in heaven as well as deliverance from the wrath to come. Let's look at verse 10 once more. You as a believer await His Son from heaven, are you? Daily? My dear friends, it is so sad. Many Christians have never heard of this. Ask your friends if they go to some other church. Do the pastors there tell them about Jesus coming? This is our blessed hope. This is the most important event after we know that Jesus rose from the dead. Right? Do you have this blessed hope? Do you live in the light of this blessed hope? When you have this blessed hope, you can be a help to others. You can edify other Christians because you have this hope. You can tell them about this hope. You can tell them that because I know my Savior is coming back, I live a different life. And therefore, I have that power. He is coming for me. You can tell your words are much more powerful than mine. Because you are known to your friend, and your friend is observing you. They want to know what you have got to say after you were converted, after you came to this church. Is there something you can say to them? Of course. Of course. Can you say verse 10 for me? Yes? Look at verse 10. You tell your friend, I am daily waiting for Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to come from heaven. Every day. Morning, I wake up with this great thought. Jesus may come. I am ready because I'm living with Him, walking with Him. Are you? Then you tell your friend, don't worry. Don't be so depressed. Don't give up hope. Don't despair because you got cancer. Oh yes, so sad. I said, dear friends, when we all realize that this life is but temporary, Cancer is the cure of death. You know that. You're so worried about death. When cancer has done its work and taken my life, it cures the worry of death. It's once and for all. You understand this? Oh, dear friends, try and look at cancer in a different light. If God sees fit for me to get it, so be it. For how I go, whether by cancer or by natural causes, which we call just breathing your last, some other way, or accident, or somehow. We all have to go. So when it comes to the end, we all must be prepared. Every believer must come to a conclusion and a decision. In Christ, I fear not. the advent of death, the event of death, are you? Then when you have this assurance, you can edify someone else who is sick, who has got incurable disease. Let me tell you, all of us have incurable disease. All of us. What is it? Can you tell me what is the incurable disease? Aging. Are you free from aging? Huh? You say, I'm strong and healthy. I joined health club. Health club only make you stronger to die one day. Yeah. To die strong. My friends, let's be realists. Gospel gives you power to know the end of life is with the Lord Jesus. And to comfort one another, every day I talk to my wife. No joke. In the morning I say, so good to see you. Another day. Because we know we are no longer 40 or 50. In those days we have some kind of a distant hope. Yes, we will have another 30, 40 years. Possible? Possible. But no guarantee. Today we can say absolutely certain we are not going to live another 50 years. Correct? Sure. But you look back, 50 years has flown away so fast. So now ask yourself, do you think we both have got another 30 years? I say absolutely not. 80 plus 30, 110, I don't think I'll be here. Right? Do I have 20 years? I say most unlikely. Then do I have 10 years? Possible, but no guarantee. What is the end point of our talking this morning, dear friends? Edify one another. How do you edify? Dear friends, this morning let me tell you this. When you have come to a complete trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your own Savior every day, living, walking with Him in reality, not theory, reality. How do you have reality? Listen to Him, read His Word. Who is speaking to you when you read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5? Who speaks to you? Jesus. This is His Word. And He says, fear not, I'm with you. Yes. I'm the resurrection and the life. And I'm coming back again for you, but do not speculate on the date. These are so wonderful words, aren't they? So, back to our breakfast conversation. I said, we must be ready. Anytime, whoever goes first goes to the land of happiness and joy and everlasting life already. So, the one who is left behind, pray that you will also go soon. Right? Then you have settled the big question of death. And this is the biggest problem of all. This is the last enemy that shall be destroyed. Now, come back to verse 10. So here we are, dear friends. Every day wait for the coming of Jesus from heaven, who He raised from the dead. And because He lives, you will live also. Because Jesus rose from the dead, you are going to rise from the dead. And that gives you hope. Whether I die next year or 10 years' time, what does it matter? Indeed, if it is God's will, I say the sooner the better. I'm very candid and sincere when I say this. When you understand what is ahead for you, then, Lord, do your good will. The sooner the better. For I long daily to be with the Lord. That is the best. In His presence, all earthly worries and burdens and troubles and sorrows become things of the past. They cannot get at me anymore. I don't have to wake every morning with a whole list of things that I got to do. Although I enjoy doing it. Although I do it happily for the Lord. But sometimes they are very heavy. Very worrying, because there are problems facing the church. So what is the prayer? How do you edify one another? How do you edify yourself? Edification is by the power of the Word of God. There is no other way you can edify yourself. Only the Word of God, the assurance of the Word of God to say, press on. Labor on. This is the Lord's work. You're called to it. Keep on at it. Don't give up, dear friends. Never give up. Serving the Lord is not easy, but it is joyous. You know that? I've served Him now 50, 60, 70 years. And every day serving the Lord is better than the day before. This is how I can edify you. Meaning to say, build up your confidence. Build up your assurance to say, ah, I know, my faith in the Lord is not in vain. It's a real faith. Because Jesus lives, I will live. Because He's there, He's preparing a place for me. And He says so, it is in His Word. Every word of this book is true. I can put all my trust in this book because this is God speaking to me, speaking to you. You know that? Are you reading? So when you know that, it edifies you, builds up your faith. Then you not go to let none ever do this. Consult Sai Baba. Yes, I know Christians who put the picture of this man and look to him. How about those who go to the temple? There's a Christian who went to Pulau Batam to consult some special medium. Never you do that, dear friends. Here it is. The Word of God gives you complete, total, absolute assurance. So, dear friends, how shall we edify one another? Now we go back to chapter 5, and we will close with the 3 verses. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9. Now this is the blessing you receive by salvation. When you come to the front one day and say, I want to receive Jesus as my Savior and make the vow, you became part of the family. Then what do you get? Verse 9. God hath not appointed you to wrath. When you receive Jesus and confess Him as your Savior, you are delivered from the wrath to come. A wrath that is reserved for all who reject the Savior. But you have received the Savior. I say, praise the Lord. Every day live in the light of this great thing, great promise of God. Then you are encouraged to go on with Him because the wrath of God is no longer facing you. Who says so? The Word of God says so. On that you can put all your trust. Alright? God has not appointed you to wrath. The judgment of the day to come, when God's wrath will be poured down on all the unbelieving, rebellious, evil, wicked world, you are exempt. That's number one. Are you edified? Tell yourself, I believe Jesus, and therefore I am exempt from this punishment. Now what else? To obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, that salvation is real. It's not imaginary. It's not fiction. How do I know? I know because my Savior went up to heaven and He says, I'm coming back for you. For you. Just one reason why Jesus is coming back. In order to save us from this perishing world and to judge the unbelieving world from which you are exempt. Edify one another. Tell us every day, because of this I can endure any difficulty. I will go for Jesus Christ. I will be a witness for Him. Edify one another. Verse 10. He died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Every day live with Him. Make living with Jesus, walking with Him, a reality. Every day. Tell yourself. Pray so. Every morning say, thank God I have a Savior, Jesus Christ as my God. May He walk with me. May I walk with Him through this day, edify yourself, edify your friend. Finally, verse 11, wherefore comfort yourselves together. Comfort. Draw strength. Give yourself power and not succumb to grief. Those who are sorrowing because of the departure of a loved one. Here is comfort. Only the word of God can comfort you. Only the assurance that in Jesus Christ we have overcome death. Only that can comfort you. And then when you have that comfort, you can comfort others. You can tell them, I have experienced, and I tell you, this will edify the person that he will not over sorrow and find no hope. Edify one another. Now, dear friends, there are one or two practical things. How can we practically edify one another? Firstly, pray that God will give you a new attitude to other people. Many of us are easily antagonized by people, even within the church, easily irritated. Pray, God, please give me a love for our fellow believers. Earnestly, truly. Yes, we all fall to that kind of antagonism. Oh Lord, give me love. That I will love my fellow believers within this church and not look daggers in the eyes. Why? It comes so naturally. Pray God to forgive us and give us that love one for another. Help us to speak kindly one to another. And not just to ourselves, but to outsiders. Give us a new vocabulary, a new attitude of kindness. Can it be done? Oh yes, God can change us. We consciously pray for it. Lord, give me grace. Give me loving kindness in my speech that others hearing it will say, I'm blessed. Yes, I'm encouraged that these people from this church speak so kindly to me. I want to know more about salvation. That's it. Can it be done? By the power of the Holy Spirit. Seek each other's welfare. Think of other people. Don't always think of ourselves. And we have a visitation committee. And these are some of the cards that are prepared for the visitation committee. The words on the cards are meaningful. I will not leave you comfortless. When you go to someone who is bedridden, someone who is sick, we leave them a card. This will edify that person who cannot go to church, cannot go out. And he thinks, well, the world is finished. I say, the world is not finished. There are still believers who care. There are still Christians who care. And this is how we can edify one another in the practical way. These will be available in the book room from next week. So far, it's only the visitation committee that have these cards. Homemade, but as good as Hallmark. Assured. And better because we all have King James Bible verses. Only King James. It's very hard to find it outside. So get this from next week. Use this. Post it. Go and talk to somebody about comfort in the Lord Jesus Christ. What does this say? Lord will give you strength. Yeah, I feel so weak. And when you leave this card, it works. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. And the pictures really give us a heavenly feel to the people. Now finally, here on this communion table, our home prayer fellowship. Of course, the best thing is I urge you, you come to pray on Tuesday night. Unless you have house on fire, you can't come, okay? Unless you're on duty in the hospital, unless you have a small child to look after or an old person that you must stay with, I ask you, what reason do you have not to come on Tuesday night? What reason? And you want to edify other people. How can you do it if you're not edified yourself? All right, those who have good excuse, okay, take this. It's in the box here, also outside. This is our home prayer partnership. Take this home and pray for the people. There is no greater favor and blessing you can do to anyone than to pray for them. When you pray, God works through you. You can be a blessing. Oh, dear friends, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another. Let God raise up a band of praying, caring people who are able, with His power, to edify others. Starting from this church, let us begin to edify one another. Look up one another. Think of one another. Telephone call work wonders. Better still, a personal call. Oh Lord, help us all to be effective to edify one another. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, may Thy words touch some heart, that we will consider, what have we done for the Lord who has done all for us? That we will not be ungrateful or unfruitful for the salvation grace we have received. Oh, Father in heaven, change our lives by the working of Your Holy Spirit and send us forth to be instruments of the Most High God to edify one another. This is our prayer in the blessed and wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.